You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest messages and teachings. Don't forget to subscribe. The Encounter Podcast, encounter the presence and power of the Holy Spirit.
I'm continuing my series on the spiritual gifts, and I want to talk to you about the leadership gifts. Let's begin in Ephesians chapter 4. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father, who is over all and in all and living through all. However, He has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say when He ascended to the heights, He led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to His people. Notice that it says He ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, so that He might fill the entire universe with Himself. Verse 11, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Now, there are a few things I want to point out here. Firstly, notice the emphasis on unity. This is very key for the operation of spiritual gifts. Also, notice how the scripture emphasizes the fact that Christ gave these gifts to the church. We must not reject these leaders that God has placed in our lives. God has, in fact, assigned people to help edify the church. Now, I understand we all have spiritual gifts and we all edify one another in some way. But these spiritual gifts are given special authority, special influence to help lead the church in a special way. So their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Now, I also want to emphasize that the Bible says that this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Now, it has not happened. All believers have not met that full and complete standard, and therefore, these gifts are still in operation. So let's first look at the pastor. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 says, "So guard yourselves and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock, His church, purchased with His own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as leaders." This is Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, "Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit." Now, God has given us pastors not to govern us, but to guide us. I understand that many have abused this title that God has given to some, pastor. Some of us, when we think of a pastor, we think of the good examples in our lives. Others, when we think of the word pastor, we think of the bad examples in our lives. And I understand that some have abused this position. Some have abused that title and taken their so-called authority to extremes that God never meant them to take it to. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4 says, "Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. In other words, lead by example, not through heavy-handedness. God has given us pastors to guide us. I thank God that in my life, God has placed great men and women of God who have guided me. And my pastor is a very sincere, anointed man of God. And I thank God that I have a leader in my life who doesn't lord authority over me. But that authority has been used in my life to bring correction, to bring instruction, to bring wisdom, to bring a different perspective in certain seasons of my life. And I thank God for the protection of that authority. God places people in spiritual authority over us, not to govern us and control us, but to bring protection. So I'm thankful for the pastors that God has placed in my life. And we cannot be so stubborn in this area that we fail to see that, in fact, the church has a structure to it. And the church has leaders in position that God has placed there. Again, I understand that some have experienced spiritual abuse. But I also understand that some people have very rebellious hearts and they don't want to submit to the authorities that God has placed in their life. I'm telling you the truth. You know I love you and I'm telling you the truth. This is a biblical concept. Spiritual authority is a biblical concept. But again, not for control, but for guidance. The second I want to look at is the apostle. Now, apostle simply means one sent on a mission. An apostle is not someone who has somewhat of a pyramid scheme going on where they're a pastor of pastors of pastors of pastors. It's not someone who just builds a network of people who call them apostle, or someone who carries around a business card that says apostle. An apostle, biblically speaking, is someone who establishes churches and ministries prolifically. This is a definition that I've come to believe based upon my study of the apostle. An apostle is one who establishes churches and ministries prolifically. They begin new works among new people groups. Paul the apostle was an apostle to the Gentiles. He began a new ministry under a new group of people. So the apostles multiplied their disciples. They were senders. They were fishers of men, yes, but they were disciplers of men. Apostles are disciple makers. Not everyone who makes disciples is an apostle, but everyone who is an apostle makes disciples. I believe that apostles are church planters, ministry planters. Again, the apostle is someone who establishes churches and ministries prolifically. And it just so happens to be that in establishing churches and ministries prolifically, that they become fathers to fathers and pastors to pastors and leaders to leaders. But it's not just building that network of people you have, quote, under you, unquote. It's in giving your life to establish these ministries and churches, sometimes among new people groups and sometimes just the work itself being new. Number three, the teacher. Romans 12:7 says, if your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. James 3:1 says, dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. There are strict rules for teachers of the Word of God. They have to be able to rightly divide the Word of truth. The teacher is one who has been so graced by the Holy Spirit as to take what seems to be complicated spiritual truths and cause them to become simple, practical, applicable understandings that will transform lives and hearts. The teacher takes the Word of God and is gifted to help it make sense to you. The teacher is patient. The teacher is intentional. The teacher is detailed and meticulous in getting people to understand spiritual and biblical truths. Number four, the evangelist. Now, an evangelist is not just someone who travels from church to church and hypes up the crowds. That, I would say, is someone with a gift of encouragement. An evangelist is someone who is so graced by God that when they speak, God graces their speech to pull on the heart of the sinner, to open the heart of the stubborn. An evangelist has a heart for the lost. An evangelist is passionate about souls, not just passionate about preaching, not just passionate about traveling and visiting churches, but passionate about souls. Acts 21:8 says, "The next day we went on to Caesarea and stayed at the home of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven men who had been chosen to distribute food." So here we see the scripture mentions Philip the evangelist. Now take a look at the life of Philip. Acts 8:4 through 6. "But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs he did." So here we see an example of the evangelist. He traveled not just to travel. He went to places not just to hype a crowd. He went with the purpose of declaring the gospel message concerning the Messiah. And when he spoke, people were attracted to what he was saying. People listened intently because that's the grace on the evangelist. Acts 8:40. "Meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north at the town of Azotus. He preached the good news there and in every town along the way until he came to Caesarea." So here he is preaching the gospel message. The evangelist is one who is passionate about soul winning and focused on presenting the message of salvation and graced by God in such a way that their message, when they speak, pulls on the hearts of sinners and again opens the heart of the stubborn. Number five, the prophet, and I mean a true prophet here. The prophets of God differ from those who have the gift of prophecy. There is the gift of prophecy, which we will cover later in this series. And then there is the office of the prophet. What's the difference between the two? I'll give you two words: authority and influence. As a prophet, someone has been given an office in a leadership role in the body of Christ. As someone who prophesies, that believer is given the ability and the grace to speak a prophetic word to individuals. Whereas a prophet is positioned with the authority of leadership and the influence to lead the corporate body of Christ, as opposed to just giving individual prophetic words. Acts 11:27 through 30 says, "During this time, some prophets traveled from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them named Agabus stood up in one of the meetings and predicted by the Spirit that a great famine was coming upon the entire Roman world. This was fulfilled during the reign of Claudius. So the believers in Antioch decided to send relief to the brothers and sisters in Judea, everyone giving as much as they could. They did this, entrusting their gifts to Barnabas and Saul to take to the elders of the church in Jerusalem." So here we see a prophet speaking forth the oracles of God and leading the church based upon that prophetic word. That prophet led the corporate body and wasn't just ministering an individual prophetic word. They were a trusted source for hearing from God. They were a trusted leader in that body, in that group. And when they spoke, the people listened, not just because they were interested in the prophetic word itself, but because of the weight of the authority and influence behind that prophet. So, to recap, we have the pastor, the apostle, the teacher, the evangelist, and the prophet. The pastor is one who shepherds people spiritually, not through controlling them, but through guiding them. Then we have the apostle. This is one sent on a mission. This is not just someone who is a leader of leaders or a pastor of pastors. This is a disciple maker. This is a church planter. This is someone who prolifically establishes churches and ministries. Number three, the teacher. This is not just a believer with the ability to teach. This is someone who is a leader in the body of Christ, who leads corporately, and who has been given a grace to explain the word of God and lay foundations spiritually. Number four, the evangelist. This is not just someone who travels from church to church. This is not just someone who hypes the crowd. This is someone who has a passion for souls, a desire to spread the gospel message of salvation specifically, and who has been given a grace by God to speak words that will cut through to the heart of the sinner. And number five, the prophet. Not just someone who prophesies, but someone who acts as an oracle of God, a leader in the body of Christ, with the authority and influence to lead corporately. And that concludes my teaching on the leadership gifts. Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. You can help keep the Encounter Podcast on the air by becoming a monthly supporter or making a one-time donation now. To give, just go to davidhernandezministries.com/donate. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.